and a couple of actions in mind for Secretariat. Two, we discussed at length the improved coordination, cooperation with the committee other committees, and we resolved to include that core objective, under the objective of enhancing the effectiveness of SCOPA oversight. So that's where we ended just before tea, in a very brief summary. So now, the area that we need to discuss when Sianda comes in is really we're talking around how do we then, the strategic objectives that support the core objective, which is now our number one core objective, enhancing the cooperation of the executive and accounting officers with SCOPA. The question I want to put to the floor to just guide your thinking a little bit is, A, is it a separate objective, or it is an objective under your oversight, enhancing your own effective oversight? What is the level of importance you want to put into it? Because there's two schools. There's we want to raise that importance of ensuring that executive and accounting officers really cooperate at SCOPA and participate at SCOPA. The second bit is why do we want them is to enhance the effectiveness of SCOPA. So for me, it's a question of asking, do you want it separate? If you want it separate, what is the strategic objective that we are thinking? What is the thinking that we want underneath so that we can start capturing that direction? Mm-hmm. As possibly a small, I don't know if I'll send you the mic this side. Just a small guide. One of the things that we've done around PFMA as an AG office is really start taking a step back on capturing the role of the accounting officer as captured in the legislation, in the PFMA legislation, Chapter 5. A lot of the areas that SCOPA looks at and questions sit as core accountability of the accounting officer. And I think part of the things that we may want to think about going forward is to link those things so that it is very clear that the accounting officer has to account for all the things that are sitting in the PFMA legislation. And parts of them, if you really group it, really sits around ensuring an effective and efficient system for financial and performance management systems, for risk management, for an internal control environment, and for procurement and evaluation, which are kind of the core things that we are worried about. The second thing is really around ensuring the appropriate oversight is in place and accountability is in place. And that lists also areas around economic use of resources. It's around, you're looking for the guys?
Yeah.
it falls into that that area of saying, what actions are being taken against officials who contravene the PFMA? So it looks at ethical and commitment to ethical conduct as well, which surround the safeguarding of assets and liabilities, which goes back to what you were talking about in terms of if the school is being built, is it there? Was it done effectively? If there's irregular expenditure, what happened? What was the issue? Because they're also, per the legislation, are supposed to comply with the rules and regulations, etc., and increase the transparency of those processes. So one of the things that I thought we need to think about, because when we're putting the right level of escalation so that these things are resolved, is that the executive authority is supposed to answer on how have they monitored the accounting officer in them delivering against the PFMA. And I know it's a slight change in how we've asked questions, which has allowed people to wiggle out of situations. But now it's a question that really says, now that we are unpacking the legislation, you need to have executive authority. The reason why we want you here is for you to explain how are you ensuring that the accounting officer is doing the things that they are supposed to do as mandated by the law. And accounting officers to account to say, how have you ensured that you have delivered on your very clear objectives? So, great. So, at something that I'd like us to talk about as we're enhancing the cooperation with the executive. And if you look at what the chair was talking about around finance and appropriations and SCOPA, those are three committees that are the super committees, for lack of a better word. But what they also do is they really do look at the past, present, and future. And it is, we need to figure out how do we marry that as we're also enhancing this cooperation. And I'll give you just an example now from the BRRR process that just happened, or is happening currently with the last two of these today, is some of the questions I found were being asked by members were really scope of questions and not the questions around the future. Because they're going to approve budgets and annual reports, but they're asking scope type questions and not those questions. So there's a need for us to help to figure out how do we run that. There's a lot of things that are sitting in that part of coordination with council officers, executive officers, and oversight committees, which that's why part of my skew is, do we want to put it under enhanced effectiveness and then unpack the different activities under effectiveness, or do you want it as a separate item? So I know I've bombarded you with a lot of information, but it's allowing you to just think about how you'd want to approach it. And at this point, I'll open the floor.
Well, I think thinking as you were presenting, our work is to oversee the work of the executive. Now, one of our core objectives is to enhance our oversight work. But clearly there is nothing we can do if the accounting officers and the executive authority do not cooperate with us. Meaning what we'll have will merely be annual reports, but we'll not be able to do any substantive work without them being there. So I would imagine that maybe we may need to say, in order to enhance the effectiveness of our oversight, the executive and the accounting officers are critical stakeholders for us. So maybe we need to edit as a bullet point on number three and not as a standalone. Because, I'm just thinking, you can't take it any further than that, except to now move into activities. What do you need to do? Invite them for coffee, visit them in their offices, you know. So I'm thinking that is an element of enhancing the effectiveness of our oversight. If we have their cooperation, if we call them, they must come. If we ask for documents, they must provide. That will assist us in doing our oversight work.
If I can direct a question to the chair. In terms of enhancing cooperation of the executive and the accounting officers, do we not need a point there, and I'm relying on your knowledge in terms of the legislation, regarding how can we enforce that cooperation? You know, enhance, encourage, sounds very nice. But what about enforcement? Do we have that capability?
Yeah, I think if you, and I might be wrong, but I think in America, whenever officials appear before their parliament, they are made to take an oath. It's a standard practice. But in our case, we have taken a cooperative approach where ministers and officials are merely invited to come, and they've always come. But in terms of in terms of the powers that the committee has, or any committee of parliament, yes, we have the powers to enforce cooperation from whoever we want to appear before us. Where the case of the Commission for Gender Equality, one of these ladies who write a lot in the newspapers about accountability, when we called her to appear here, she made certain requests, and when we refused them, she said, well, I'll walk out. Anyway, you invited me. You did not subpoena me. So, and she walked out. So, but I'm just saying, yes, to say we want to enhance cooperation, I think it is in line with the general approach of how Parliament is operated. We have sought cooperation than to be legalistic in our approach and say, we are going to subpoena you to come, so when you come, take an oath and all that kind of stuff.
Chair, if I could just venture the opinion that maybe that's the problem. You know, maybe officials should be very concerned when we call them. You know, I understand the idea of we're giving you an invite, please come along, let's chat nicely. But maybe there should be a regime of being extremely concerned and having the fear of God in you when Scopa calls you, because you know it's going to be a rough ride and you're only there for a particular reason. We're only calling people in front of Scopa because they're problems. You know, a department that's clean, it's done the right thing, is not going to get called in front of Scopa. So, could we not look at the fact that that's perhaps not the problem? If we have the powers, then officials must know. I don't want to appear in front of Scopa because it's going to be an incredibly rough ride. I am going to be subpoenaed. I am going to be asked to take an oath, etc., etc. And perhaps there is a culture out there. Our culture is a culture of cooperation and trying to be nice. But maybe there's also a culture out there of not taking Scopa terribly seriously because we're a bunch of nice guys.
Lost. Well, the sense I've got, well, let me put it this way. For me, what should instill the fear of God in officials is the kind of incisive questioning that we give them when they're here. And I can tell you one or two officials have actually shed tears in the hearing because of the persistent and incisive question, not insulting people, but so I think for me, that's what is critical. And I, in the fourth parliament, and I'll repeat it, we can't leave off the reputation of this committee and not do our work. We can't leave on the reputation of this committee and not do our work. So for me, what is critical is when we have hearings and comrades have been given focus areas, let's go and prepare ourselves and really be thoughtful and not act like blunt instruments, which I think seem to creep in the fourth parliament, where you now attack the person, humiliate somebody's husband or wife or parent. I don't think that's what you want. You must be seen to be thinking to have a full grasp of what we're talking about and ask questions that say to these guys, we know what we're doing. I think for me, that is what is going to cut it.
Thank you. I'm wondering whether the word cooperation is not a very soft term that's being used. Soft in the sense that officials generally take it for granted they do not have to comply. It's fine if they don't pitch up or they don't turn up. And my understanding is I don't think it's an issue of us cooperating with the others, but it's the issue of them cooperating with us. Since I think Scopa would be the highest level of the three superpowers, and that's what you call them. But should there not be a greater level of insistence or a greater level of ensuring that these people comply, that they must come an answer. Because, I mean, you know, relying on them to come, and if they don't come, you know, I don't know how limited our powers are as far as that is concerned. But my understanding would be that at this level that you would ensure that after having received the Auditor General's report and things like that, and those that need to come to account must come on account. I mean, I know of people that had resigned because of interrogation. They just couldn't take anyone. They knew what was coming, and the simplest thing was to do to resign, because then you don't ask them any more questions. But I don't know whether maybe one must consider giving SCOPA a little bit more, what do you call it, weight, a little bit more, so people take you more seriously, than rather saying, no, you know, we can get away with it and don't pitch up. Because I've had the opportunity in the last week or so to hear how there is a problem between national and provincial, and when national calls provincial, they just don't pitch up. The AG calls them, they just don't pitch up. And all the national can do is tell the provincial, please pitch up when the AG calls you. And nothing more can be done. Stops dead there. If they don't pitch up, they don't pitch up. And I believe we should be in a position to be able to go that one step. In terms of subpoenas, I would understand we have the authority to subpoena people to actually to the hearing. So I'm a little bit worried about that, because I find that people tend not to take these committees seriously because they believe they can get away with it.
Can I quickly pose up to Johan, remember? Just a quick question around the tone of the sentence. Is the issue here not what we do when people don't pitch up? Or what is the issue? We're trying to get people to get here. Is the issue that when they don't arrive, what do we then do? Because I think that sets the precedence for people thinking that they can get away with things. Then I worry about if our core objective is militant, for lack of a better word, is people will no longer come voluntarily. They will then make force SCOPA to go through a whole subpoena procedure every time they are looking for them. And I think for me that was the undertone I picked up, that we are trying to say coordination, but I do think when you're looking at our activities or our escalation, is saying, as SCOPA, should we summon Department X or ask, invite Department X to SCOPA, and they don't arrive, or they give us the runaround, or they do not provide adequate information, then we shall pursue this option. And it's something that we are then going to measure ourselves on as we put measurable objectives to say, in how many circumstances have we invited people and they've declined and we've done nothing about it? Because I'm worried about us going into a militant tone, because it'll make us more dysfunctional than functional. Sorry, just on remember, then I'll come back to you on remember.
Chandrika, thank you very much. You're kind of saying what I'm saying. These are our objectives. We can revert to the law if there's a problem. We're talking as though every department, every official, every minister is going to not want to come, and we're going to have to force them to come. In fact, they're quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And I don't, like the chair, want to... What was the word you used about using your previous experience? Or I can't remember. That was a very good word. But sitting on the Appropriations and Finance Committees over the last 5 years, there have been occasions where there have been the odd problem. But by and large, officials come. Ministers come. Deputy ministers come. We're looking at it as if there's a huge problem. The law allows us to subpoena if we need to, the rules, and we can subpoena Desmond Tutu if we want to. I mean, it's not restricted to officials and ministers. It's any person can be brought in here. So I think we must not focus too much on these objectives and look broadly at what our role is and what our objectives are, and then move on to the practical issues. And if we have to resort to to the rules and the laws, then we'll do so then.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, there was Honourable Member, then Honourable Kuna, and then we'll come back.
Like, you know, I think the point I'm trying to get at is this, that there's no reason why one should have to go and enforce issuing summons and subpoenas and whatever it is. There is legislation, people have to cooperate, people do have to pitch up. I'm not sure whether there is a serious problem at national level, but there is a serious problem locally, that I can assure you. But whether the problem is there or not, I think what I'm trying to say is that officials need to know and understand there are processes that need to be followed. When you are called, you must be charged. That's it. And respond accordingly. There should be no need that one should go and force them to come and submit and they must comply. That's it.
Thank you. I think, the constitution of the country says that parliamentarians can subpoena anybody that they want to appear in front of the committee. We are holding executive accountable as MPs, and that's one of our key role or power that we have as parliament. And I don't think we need to overemphasize it. It's there. They all know. The executive know. I know that in the past it used to be a problem for them to appear in front of SCOP, but there was a political debate about that. But it's they know that they have to appear. If they are called to come and appear, they have to appear. Overemphasizing it, will it help? I don't think it will help. But we don't want... I think people know exactly when they come to SCOP what they are expecting. You know, we have to do, like what the chairperson has said, our job diligently. I mean, you don't have to be harsh or fight with people to show them that this is what we want to achieve at the end of the day. What you do it in a respectable manner as an honorable member, I think it's okay. So I think the way it's put there, it's okay. If we overemphasize it, it's not going to help the purpose. But the main thing is that they have to come. Anybody that wants to subpoena to come to Parliament must come. Thanks. I think just to close.
I don't think that there will be more than one or two officials at executive members who actually even read people.
Just to take us forward after all the discussion, perhaps just the insertions of the word ensure the cooperation.
Okay.
So we use the word ensure. That gives us a definable task.
Right.
So if we can get cooperation by way of friendly invite, great. If we can't, then we can say, right, did we ensure?
All right.
And
I think
then
that's great.
We have that problem when we have a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So... we've now got three. Now we're working. So, just to take us forward, we, in a way, we've got number three that we're going to go to, but just, if you look at it now, number one, I think there are strategic objectives that are already almost captured there by virtue of conversation. Number two, we've included a number of strategic objectives under enhancing the oversight of SCOPA. And I think the one that we haven't really gotten into is this consider all annual reports that are tabled. For me, that's a statement of fact. So...
just before we get there, that bullet point number, the second bullet under one, the syntax there is a problem with it. The drive understanding, or I think to drive the understanding, or to drive your... sorry, it's been bugging me all morning. Thanks.
He just wants to bug you.
It's already bugged by the
NIF. So members, I think let's just discuss number three. Just consider all annual reports that are tabled. because that is a core objective of SCOPA. The question I want to ask you, I suppose, is to say, well, is there really a strategic objective you can put there? Because for me, it is a core objective and a strategic objective in one. Yeah. The one thing that I would like you to start thinking about is, and it's something that we spoke about earlier in the morning, I think you mentioned in passing, is the prioritization of departments. Yes, we consider all. And we could, you can continue.
You know what I wanted to
say earlier, when I think the researcher, when she was trying to show us what is it that they're doing, I think she said something that can help with that. They know the trends of different, of certain departments for the last 5 years. I think we could have that, and I don't know how soon we can have that. I mean, we are going to check them all. It's important that all of them are processed, but we'll check at the ones that are problematic. I think that's how we can prioritize them.
So I think if we move from here.
So I think you've captured exactly what I wanted to say, so there's no need. No, it's awesome. What I think we need to do from here is now we need to capture our activities, our measurable activities, our SMART principles, the things that when we sit a year from now and we discuss 6 months from now to do our interim conversation, we can comfortably say, yes, this is what we've done, this is where we are, this is how we did it, this is the level of quality. And I think the chairperson probably captured it most apt in saying we've got a reputation of our past scopers. We need to build on that reputation, but not rely on it to carry through. So the measurable objectives that we're going to do now are going to bring life to the core objectives that we've agreed on, the sub-objectives, which really the strategic objectives underneath each one, so that we are able to keep each other accountable going forward on it.
Absolutely. Let me take you one step back. Because of what Mr. Sagi is writing there, my understanding of considering all reports actually means we must process, we must look at, and there are three categories. One, there are those reports that you'll say are clean audit reports, about which I think in the fourth parliament we had a bit of a glitch in terms of being able to report about them, so that SCOPA is not seen as a carrier of bad news all the time, that those who do good are acknowledged and encouraged and highlighted. And so what this means is that we need to process those resolutions. Two, the second category is those that are unqualified but have maybe one or two other matters for which we said, I think the last time we had said we must write the standard resolution, but in it add those two or three questions that the department must clear for us. It means that we must do that. Thirdly, it is those that we want to have a hearing with. Now, the prioritization here means if we have 20, the question is, which ones do we start with? But there is a whole category of those that we say we want to have a hearing with. Meaning, therefore, that all the reports that have come to Parliament and been referred to us, we must process them. And I think in the past, this came about because it would happen that reports would come, you have 200 reports and we may maybe consider 77, and the rest we have not even touched them. So I think it was trying to say, let us be more effective in how we do our work. Let us be more organized and let's put more effort to our work.
Chair, would this not be, and I'm planting it in your mind as we think about activities, be part of the action that we are going to need the researchers to assist us with in terms of doing that synopsis of what are the key issues so that members can do their job, go through the reports, but also understand what are the things to focus on so that you can go through all the reports, but knowing that there is some sort of summary. And I think it's something that I think the researchers, or to General National Treasury, or the committees, should work together to provide that consolidated type report so that you are able to have a good sense of where the core issues are. For example, I mean, taking liberties, my personal issue is around the likeness in which we sometimes treat unqualified with other matters. Because the way I understand auditing is, and understand government, is all things start with the budget. And the budget is based on activities that a department said they're going to do. And when you sign off on the budget, we're saying, we sign off the budget on the premise that, one, you will record it accurately, so you'll do the debit and credit, you will deliver the service, and you will comply with the laws and regulations of the country while doing it. So our audit is then split into those three things, which is the debit and the credit, the actual act of delivering on that budget, on the activities that were supported in the budget, and the compliance with laws and regulations to deliver. So even with the unqualified and other matters, it still needs a good enough research or good enough summarized report to say what are the issues that are sitting in other matters. Because if a department is unqualified but has no compliance findings, for example, but has reliability findings in its performance report, that's a big problem. Because in effect we're saying, the auditors are saying, I could not find proof that supports your level of performance that you've documented. This is a rolling effect on other committees that need to approve the budget. Because now they're approving a budget where there's a finding that says the supported performance that these guys are putting here, we could not agree on. We could not find evidence for. So I think that's why I'm almost stressing a little bit for my own sake, the need to just, for us to look at the way the briefing document as is and look at how do we enhance it to where we're going. So I think as a country, at this fifth parliament, if you look at the outcomes, in essence, in terms of unqualified and qualified, not looking at findings, we're over the 80% mark of the number of provincial and national department and entities with an unqualified audit. So there's a need for us to probably look at, change tact a bit and saying, where is the risk sitting? Because it's no longer sitting heavily in the debit and credit like it used to. Yes, there are things around the internal control. So you'll find there may be a need where you say, Auditor General, I need you to focus more on the PDO side in terms of giving me information. Audit Committee, you can still give me the information around the internal control environment to reduce the number of material adjustments that happen to the financials so that you are able to get a different kind of information. But that's also the kind of information that, you know, if you agree with the briefing doc, with us, the kind of briefing doc that you want from us in the research and the audit committee, we start giving you information that helps you assess that maybe, trying to think of a department, National Treasury. The National Treasury is unqualified, but it's got findings on its PDO. It may not fall under the we need a hearing now type category of the past, of disclaimer, et cetera, et cetera. But by virtue of its coordinated function, you are curious about their performance, their PDO side. So that's why I'm kind of talking about how do we, as we look at activities, let's unpack, consider, the way you started to unpack, consider, let's unpack, consider, and the type of information we'll get that supports the consider. just as a guide on the terms of activities, because I think that will help us improve that that effectiveness a lot further, because I think we already are on the right place.
Yeah, I'm very sorry because I'm not going to answer the problem, but I'm actually coming with another problem, and I'm hoping that the chair, because he's been sitting here for some time, he can give us answers. You know, I know earlier on, Chairperson, we had agreed, we had a discussion in the portfolio committee on that, do we have teeth as copper to bind? How is it, how are we effective at the end of the day to the budget? If, I'll make an example again about transport. If transport has a problem with their budget, the audit outcome, I'm talking about the past now. It has been a disclaimer, or it has been worse. And it came to SCOPA, we had hearings, we went to the house with our resolutions that were clear that maybe you cannot approve their budget or there's an unauthorized expenditure of 17,000, it has to be paid by an individual, blah, whatever. And the effectiveness that I'm asking is that, and then you will find that after these processes that we'll be dealing with now, the audit outcomes, we are going to have appropriations as well. Appropriations to be saying Department A needs 50,000 rands to perform a particular function. Ne? But the same department, we had a problem with it when it appeared before SCOPA. Now we are in the house, ne? As MPs now, and we are dealing with appropriations. And the same department needs an extra amount. How, I mean, the relationship that we talked about earlier on, the coordination, especially of the overarching departments, committees, SCOPA, finance, and appropriations. How do we come forward and say, but, you know, the same house had agreed that we cannot, this person or this particular department, they have to pay this amount because it was unauthorized, you know, from a particular person. That particular person has to pay. And that same department is wanting money. How have you dealt with it in the past? In other words, are we going to be effective as we will be, you know, taking the whole time dealing with this audit outcomes? In the end, are we going to be effective? I think maybe later it will answer the question that she has raised. Thanks. I hope I'm clear.
So to take it forward, I mean, we're inserting bullet points here, right, to give ourselves measurable targets. I would say the first one should be to conduct effective research into all departments, including to conduct effective research into the audit outcomes for all departments, including performance, to some of what you've said. Then you go to prioritize departments with negative audit outcomes. I would say to conduct detailed or effective, or whatever you want to do, effective research into the audit outcomes of all departments, including performance indicators. I don't know, you might want to fiddle with that a bit. And then prioritize departments with negative audit outcomes for possible hearings. And then finally, make relevant recommendations. And I think effectively that sums up what we need to do when we consider all the annual reports that are tabled. to take us forward, you know, in terms of what we should be doing under those three. On that one. But my submission. Maybe you may well be wrong.
Tandeke, Chair, I mean, listening to all this now, I don't know, has this committee ever actually processed all, and I mean all, audit reports in any 1 year. And because it's sounding like it hasn't, and I'm not sure that it's possible, given the number and we what. And then I think it's a bit, to concentrate on the PDO is vital. It's something we have to do. But why haven't we done it? Because we've had other priorities. And so it has to be an ad hoc decision looking at each department or each entity where they are in terms of the audit history and what we now concentrate on. So I think that probably the way it's been worded there takes that into account. But I don't think the committee can now swing from one type of emphasis to another type. It has to be... But I am really worried about putting down something that we're just not going to achieve. I've never been on this committee, so I can't. I really do value the chair's input of whether we will ever get to all annual reports.
Well, my take is that when you set a core objective, even a strategic objective, that's what you wish to do. Now, when you come to the level of implementation or application, you can then look back and say, out of 100, what did I get? If you got 80%, is it possible for me to go to 100? What do I need to do to go to 100? So, have we ever considered all the reports? I don't think so, because indeed reaching that milestone was going to be a process on its own. And I think my sense was that we needed to tweak our operations at a committee level or at least at a group level to ensure that we meet that objective. Sometimes we're messed up by the program of Parliament. We seek to do A, B, C, D, then the next thing there is this and that, and then we're not able to do it. I said in the fourth Parliament, we had problems when we wanted to process the clean audits. I think there was a political problem. There was an assumption we want to look better. So there was a misunderstanding of why we're doing that. And instead of bringing us closer to say, but why are you doing this, so that we explain, it then had all these other negative things. You know, I spoke about, you know, siblings rivalry that creeps in unnecessarily so. So I think if that had not happened, I think by this time, I'm sure we could either have achieved that, or by the end of the fourth parliament, we could have been at 90% or 80% or 95%. So for me, it is a journey. We're starting it now. Let's see what happens. When we do our state plan review next year, we should be able to say, on this one, how far have we gone? What were we able to process? And move on.
So we're not setting ourselves up for failure.
I was going to be expecting in terms of budgeting, absolute budget.
Oh, okay, yes. I hear what you're saying, comrade. You see, I think the challenge and the problem that we have is that the rules, you see, this one on cooperating with other committees, it's not our invention. It is there in the rules of Parliament. Now, SCOPA as a committee can't be seen running around pulling all other committees, because then you create that impression of being a super committee. So who has the authority to do that? And my view is that the Speaker's office, whether through the House Chairperson or whatever, which is the one supervising all committees, should take the lead and the responsibility to do so. In that way, it has a driver, it has authority, you know. I think maybe if in their performance agreement that was added to one of them, then you would have somebody driving it. So the question you are raising, in the absence of that enhanced cooperation and whatever, We work in silos. Whatever we do as SCOPE, that's why in the third parliament, on that report, which was dubbed Oil Gate, the officials came before the portfolio committee, gave them a particular responses, and they submitted their report to Parliament. When they appeared before SCOPA, they reported it more truthfully, and we then wrote a report based on what they gave us, which was completely different from that of the portfolio committee. And our Parliament was saddled with a legal problem that they can't pass two contradictory reports, you know. And so ours was then put in abeyance because already that one was passed based on the information that officials gave to the portfolio committee. So that lack of cooperation created that gap.
Okay. I think, members, we've got a bit of work ahead of us as we now craft the activities. Because I think we've probably, the chair has left it at the right space of saying, we have these three objectives, we've got the strategic objectives underneath the core objectives. Now we need to look at the activities that will result in us being able to influence appropriately the budgeting process, being able to influence the programming so that the chicken and the egg doesn't occur, and for us to make sure that the impact is felt by all. And I think that's really where we're trying to head to, is saying how do we ensure accountability, governance, and transparency. Ultimately, that's our ultimate goal, and this is how we're going to drive it. So I think, members, we, as Sianda is just copying and pasting, just copy and paste for the first 123 and still discuss. Yeah, so now, under improving the understanding of the work of SCOPA, there's three strategic objectives that we put in. The first one being the SCOPA chairperson to drive the understanding of the media of all SCOPA activities. We need to then craft what is an activity that we are able, that we are going to hold the chairperson accountable to. What kind of activity is this? It'll be clear how we're going to measure the impact of this activity so that we are sure that when SCOPA chairperson is done, the media's understanding of SCOPA activities is enhanced or improved, and there's a very clear way of reporting on what SCOPA is doing. The second objective there was to drive the understanding of the public of scope work using tools such as social media. And the third one was using Parliament's communication capacity. Activities under this area?
I think the chairperson should speak for himself in terms of what he's going to do to drive the agenda. I would say a daily morning briefing to the press, but I'm joking. I think in terms of the media, I think one could start off with an engagement with the media. Now, I know a lot of the media come to... let me go back one step. We seem to be doing that a lot today. Do we need to, I know we've agreed to this as an objective at our last meeting, do we really experience the fact that a lot of media are unaware of what we do in SCOPA? That's the one question, because I've noted so far that various media personalities attend our meetings, and they seem to be quite open and certainly seem to have been around for a long time. So the question is maybe we have our regulars that know exactly what's going on, but maybe we need to look at an engagement with media houses that are not commonplace here at Parliament. You don't see around, not the normal big houses. So maybe we should work out doing some sort of a workshop or an engagement of some sort of one with various media entities to explain to them what SCOPA is all about, and specifically those that we don't see around. If we see this as a major problem, and I'm not trying to say we must revise this objective if the members feel it's important. But if it, as my colleague, Honourable Lise has said, you know, what is the mischief you seek to remedy? And if there is no mischief, then it's not necessary to remedy it. But I think the first step surely would be to say, right, let's get together, let's have a workshop, let's tell you what scope is all about. If that, you know. Thanks.
Honourable Member?
I think I agree with the previous Honourable Member, but I'm not so sure if it's not them understanding what SCOPA is about, other than ensuring that they are reporting what should be reported about SCOPA. I think the chairperson made a point earlier about playing the player and not the information regarding the player, and South African media in general, I think it's not an overstatement to say that it is extremely sensational. I think we need to go back on our own as citizens and see what changed in the training of journalists in this country. So for me, that's the worry. And I think we have a responsibility through the chairperson then to sort of, I think in a diplomatic way, ensure that if we are reporting about the DG of a certain department, we report about the DG of a certain department and not about their children and their wives and their whoever. So I know what I want to say. I hope that's how it's coming out. So for me, that relationship, that's the importance of it, because the aim is to ensure that South Africa works. Yeah. It is not to destroy families of the people who are working in Gaza. I don't know. I hear myself, though.
I think it has to be clear when we're talking about the media, what is it that we want to achieve. And I can't agree with her more. I mean, the media, if you open newspapers and all that, it's all mudslinging, malicious and all that. What is it that you want to achieve? If you want to achieve sending a message out there, there are other forms of media that we don't make use of. I mean, we have our own media team here in Parliament, you know. Our own radio parliament, and that has been, I mean, I don't think we are using that up to effect, you know. We can use that. We have GCIS from government. If there's any message that you want to put across, I think we could use that. But if we just going to leave it to media, I don't think that's what we are going to achieve, because of negative reporting that they're always giving. Thanks.
Just a thought, a little small point of clarity, Chair, before I go to. The target, Chair, is really to improve the understanding of the public of the work of SCOPA, with media being used as one of the tools. So I just wanted to make sure that we've got that slight distinction, that you can still improve the understanding of the public without solely focusing on media, by finding different stakeholder engagement activities. And I think the first bullet there was to say, how do we utilize the chairperson, not as a chairperson, improve the understanding of media as one of the tools. That's what my understanding was the last session. It isn't as the core focus, it was one of them. And hence, so I think if you look at the next one, is around understanding, to drive the understanding of the public of SCOPA work using other tools such as social media as well. So it's trying to find the multifaceted way of approaching the whole understanding of the work of SCOPA. And with this in mind, back of my head, is this can also assist in when you do those oversight visits. The public is aware of what you're doing and they're able to share information with yourself. At those intervals, that information that we would know as Auditor General, no one else would know but the member of the public who's been there. But now they understand the roles that we play, so they know how to engage with SCOPA and how to provide information to SCOPA, etc., etc. I think that really was the essence of saying, how do we improve that understanding? Chairperson, the different...
Yeah, I think... maybe to make things easier for ourselves, because as we know, the media have their own mindset, and that cannot be changed by 45 minutes encounter with us. But I think our core objective is the public. We want the public to understand the work that we do. And I think maybe when we went to the strategic objective, that's where we twisted it.
Yeah.
Our focus is now on the media understanding our work and not using the media to reach the public.
Yeah.
So I think if we can change the strategic objective to talking something about the chairperson using the media to achieve that core objective, it can make our lives better. But if the media becomes our objective, then we have an impossible battle
to win.
Unless if we want to have the media as a separate focus. But I'm just saying our initial focus, our actual core focus is the public. We want to reach the public. So we have social media, we have Parliament's communication, and we have the media houses that are in Parliament.
Okay.
I think for me that one and two should be collapsed into one SCOPA chairperson to drive the understanding of the public of SCOPA work, utilizing tools such as the media, mainstream media, and other forms of media like the social media. We can even quote the ones that Honorable Kuno quoted for us if we want to, something like that.
Okay. All right. The same sentence afterwards at the end,
just include various media platforms that just kind of catches everything. Is that a better summation?
I just want to suggest that you say SCOPA chairperson to drive public awareness and understanding of SCOPA activities through all media platforms. So to SCOPA to drive public awareness and understanding of SCOPA activities through all relevant media platforms.
I think maybe utilizing,
or various, yeah, various media platforms, yeah, sure. The thing is, what I'm saying is, for instance, social media.
Yeah.
Would a social media campaign on Facebook really be relevant? You know, would people really want to read about SCOPA issues on Facebook? I don't know. You know, that's what I'm saying, all relevant. But also, just one thing I just wanted to say, Tandeka, in relation to this. We've got to be very, very careful that we don't see ourselves as an alternate line of information on SCOPA activities other than the media.
Yeah.
We can paint ourselves into a very bad situation. We are the sanitized version of SCOPA in terms of information that we get. I 100% agree that information should be disseminated, but it should be an open portal from SCOPA to the public, completely transparent, but disseminated in a responsible fashion. In other words, that's where we take our personalities and we look at the real issues. However, if we're seen as some sort of an alternate media source to the actual media, it could be viewed in a very, very bad light. And I think we cannot even remotely think that we're ever going to control the media in terms of how they write stories. But we can disseminate information, then they can go dig around about the grandparents and the kids and that, and that's their job. But the point is, I agree that it's unfortunate, but we can never, you know, we live fantastically in a democracy that allows freedom of the media.
Just to check, honourable members, if I've captured that sentence well, I think to on the last part of it, I'm just not sure if I've said it exactly the way you would like me to.
Somewhere they must include the assistance of Parliament's own communication capacity, because you do not have communication capacity. So utilizing Parliament's communication capacity, SCOPA chairperson to drive public awareness and understanding of SCOPA activities using various media platforms.
What does this include after that, from including Parliament's communication capacity?
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just come in now. Right. That's all very well. But the fact is that we all have everyone around this table, perhaps not you as officials, but even you as officials have relationships with the media, and those carry on irrespective of what's here. Are we accepting that the chair is going to speak on our behalf? Because I'm not. You see, if I'm not in a position to vet what the chair is going to say, then the chair is not speaking on my behalf. And the chair of SCOPA is slightly different from the chairs of other committees, where the chairs of other committees sit there in a capacity of a political party. This is supposed to be a kind of impartial one. And so, you know, to put that in as a strategic objective, whatever wording you want to put about media and social media and parliamentary, I can't accept that anyone speaks on my behalf unless I've had some input and control of that. Not control, but control. So we must be cautious about that particular strategic objective. I accept that the public, the chair is quite right to inform the public, but actually we all have that objective as individuals as opposed to the committee as a whole. And sometimes that'll be positive, sometimes it'll be negative. But that's our role as politicians.
It's a difficult one. I think the day that we debated it, it had come out that if we say the committee, we are still saying one committee member is speaking on behalf of other committee members. And it's a fact that we come from different political parties with different political agendas. So that was the difficulty around that debate, if I remember well, where we then arrived at saying the chair. But I remember I also objected to the chair, and I said, it depends if the chair is going to be communicating what the committee has decided upon, and not what the chair wants to communicate on behalf of whoever. So, yeah, it is a sticky one. Maybe we can talk more about it, but I'm just warning that if we go and say the committee, if we are going back to the same thing. I think for me the committee is even more dangerous, because everybody will be saying their own thing wherever it is that they are saying, wherever it will be that they are saying it. But the issue of a chair, although it's one person, it's easy to resolve, but it is still unresolved. I raised that also in the last meeting. I hope when he does speak, he speaks on our behalf of the committee.
Maybe I can help. I think we probably need to look at, when you look at the activity here, it becomes important to understand to either A, develop a stakeholder engagement plan that's signed off by all members of the committee, because the way I read it is if it's understanding the work of SCOPA, it may be just alerting people at SCOPA's sitting so that people can either watch parliamentary TV, people can do public participation in that way. I do not think, given the workings of the National Assembly, I don't think we have a right to really disclose as SCOPA the resolutions of SCOPA that have not been tabled, for example. So the things that can only be said out there can really be guided by stakeholder engagement plan, but also the rules of parliament, that we really can only engage in the things that have been tabled. You know, for me, I'm saying in terms of what we want the chair to speak about, how you all do the other things we have no control over, but in terms of the chair of SCOPA communicating on behalf of SCOPA, it's really trying to get the public to understand your work and your approach to work. What is it that you look out for? For example, I'll give you a very simple example about the Auditor General. For the longest time, people thought the Auditor General goes out and does fraud and irregular expenditure, and people never understood what irregular expenditure was. If you look at the amount of time spent in explaining our approach with the media, has resulted in a more factual headlines than the sensationalized headline. And that's what we're trying to keep. I think the intent of the last session was really to say, how do we encourage people to understand what you do, your approach in what you do, when do you do these things? In particular, I think the topic that you raised around provincials, you become a leader for provincial scopers as well, because they also need that level of public participation in their scoper sessions, because in that session, a member of the public should be able to raise a question. But if they do not know that scope is sitting, and I think that's where we're trying to get to, but maybe as a guide, let's task the chairperson to engage with parliamentary communications to develop a stakeholder engagement plan for SCOPA to be discussed with SCOPA and a sign off, an express sign off by SCOPA members on their stakeholder engagement plan. Would that become at least a good base to start off with, because this is a new area for us?
So, Nikki, yeah, I fully agree that if you're only talking about activities, there's no drama there. Just one thing to clarify, SCOPA meetings are not held in committee. So therefore, if we need to approach the media on a particular issue, we can. We certainly will not be gagged in that regard. You have to wait for it to be tabled. If anybody's got a problem with the SCOPA chairperson, you can just make an overall objective and just say to drive public awareness and take out the SCOPA chairperson. Well, I'm saying of the entire sentence of SCOPA activities. But if there's an agreement here that it's not dealing with controversial issues, if it's just there will be a SCOPA meeting and we're going to be interviewing this department, etc., etc., then it's fine.
But we are going to have a problem if everybody is going to drive that. I think it is correctly located, that is, to the chair. And obviously the chairperson can account to us. Now, if it is a free for all, it's going to be a problem.
Just to assist and really not to be empiricist, with two problems, which I think that sentence sought to address and which it also created. I think when we began the fourth parliament, I had a lot of sessions with the ANC component, feeling that the pronouncements are a little flying higher on the radar. But with time, I think we came to have a better understanding of how these things were happening. But the reason we that position was emphasized was that coming especially from the DA, that then member would issue a statement a day before the committee sits. SCOPA is going to discuss 1, 2, 3, 4, we're going to deal with 1, 2, and then the media calls me, oh, we understand you're going to discuss 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, I don't know. They said, no, but so-and-so told us so. So I think insofar as the work of the committee and the decisions of the committee, I think more or less there is a sense of what needs to be done. But insofar as members, as representing their political parties are concerned, then anybody can say anything. But insofar as we've had a hearing and we've decided that we're going to write a letter or we're going to call so-and-so, and the media say, what have you decided in your committee? I mean, I can't create my own things. Nor can I bring my Marxist outlook into writing a letter and calling a person. I mean, really, it doesn't help anybody. So I'm just saying.
As an activity, can we craft the SCOPA chairperson to engage with Parliament's communication team, I think, I don't know what they call themselves, unit, to assist in developing a stakeholder engagement plan? Yeah. While you are writing, Honorable Kuna, I think you had a question.
Oh. Thanks. I'm fine with it. But I think we have not quite resolved what the Honorable Member was raising. You see, the reality of it is that we sit from different political houses. So if I have an interview on a particular day on something quite remote from SCOPA, on women activities in the EFF or whatever, and the journalist says, oh, by the way, your work in SCOPA, you know, this is what we had, da-da-da-da-da. Now, I can't say to the journalist, no, don't ask me that, ask the chairperson. I think we need to settle ourselves in that there are instances when members are going to comment on SCOPA, because you see how the media is. If you tiptoe around an issue and you're refusing to answer, they will ask you that 5 times in one interview because they are suspecting there's something you're hiding. So if we are settled in ourselves that I'm not going to go out of my way and phone the media and want to report on SCOPA or whatever, but there are instances when I will talk in the process of my talking about it.
I do think, members, you raise an important point, and I think, members, it's part of the conversation I think you need to have as you outline the things in your stakeholder engagement plan. Because I think it is part of it is it's not stopping members from having a conversation, but it's what you've just said. It's a structured way of approaching media for SCOPA activities in particular, because we also, I guess, trying to put out there a message of SCOPA represents the public as a whole. And I think you've all stressed it quite a lot that SCOPA's intent is supposed to be really objective in driving accountability and governance. And I think that's ultimately where we're trying to head to. So I think those nuances need to be captured as you debate on what comes out of the stakeholder engagement plan for SCOPA, because that's where you will refine all of those things and all those sensitivities. Is that a
case-based
to move from? Okay, you still haven't
looked at that. Sorry, Tandeka, I think it's just, I'm not trying to belabor it. I think we're all responsible in this room, okay? I don't think we're going to try to do anything to bedevil the process, but we can never ever concede or cede our right to talk to the media at any time that we want to on any matter. But I think that we can all agree here that we are reasonable, and we wouldn't try and bedevil the activities of SCOPA by liaising with the media. We wouldn't try and hurt the SCOPA process, because that's what we're trying to get done here. But there has to be agreement that in no way do we cede any rights in terms of communicating with the media at any stage. Thank you.
And that's the agreement.
I think we have agreement on the action there. I am probably the time frame you almost need.
But if there's anything, if you are asked, you know, the problem with that.
So Tandeka, to take you back, and sort of, the problem about that is that we are going to be in a meeting and you lose a debate. You know, for whatever reason, you lose a debate, and because you didn't like what was concluded there. I mean, if we don't put it point clearly there, you're going to have a problem. Somebody will take that debate to the media and obviously put whatever salt and peppers that they want to put into the debate. And it's going to, you know, we don't want to have unnecessarily quarrels. And we're not friends. I mean, we are politicians from different parties. But the best way of dealing with it is that the chairperson has to report on our behalf. He can't report anything that is outside of the committee. Whether he has lost the debate or not, by that end of the day, he has to go out there and talk about what the majority what was the majority decision. He can't go there and, you know, so it's very important. I mean, I know it will be. I mean, what Comrade Litchfield said earlier on, that I mean, if you are asked about something else and SCOPA, because they know that they happen to know that you are sitting there, they will ask you a question. Depending on how it comes, you will answer the way it comes. But I think we have to agree here
that we have a chairperson of the committee, and this is how it is with each and every committee. I agree, Comrade Godi is not from the ANC, like any other like any committees here in Parliament. But I think it's important that we speak. He's going to speak on what we have resolved here, unless if he has, he's applying his own mind, not what we have agreed on as a committee.
Sorry, Tundeka, we're going to have a sticking point here. Honourable Godi is our chairperson, and I respect him in that portfolio, in that position. Honourable Godi is obviously going to make any statements he wants to make about the committee and about technical issues such as when we're meeting, who we're having a hearing with, etc., etc., etc. That's the way I'm envisaging this. I don't envisage that Honourable Godi is going to see this as a political platform for campaigning, all right? However, I have to disagree with the Honourable Member. If we make a decision in this room, or any room that we're in, and we vehemently disagree with that decision, and we ask about in the media, we will express that. We live in a transparent democracy. It's that simple. We're allowed to do that. We are allowed to dissent and say we don't agree. Yes, SCOPE has decided that, but we dissent. And to try and close that down in any way is going to be vehemently resisted by myself, and I'm sure my colleague on a release. We have that. that is our duty. So, however, we will act in a responsible fashion.
Okay, can I close this, to be honest, purely because I do think there are semantics that we are getting involved in that really are not for this platform. So, I do not want to get to a point where I'm seen as censoring. I'm just saying we are agreeing here is core objective, improve the understanding of the public of the work of SCOPA. So I think everything else, I'm assuming, Chairperson, you do have a process with members should there be things that members are doing that contravene the spirit of SCOPA to a detrimental level where you can speak to Tandega and say, Tandega, This is. I don't know, but I'm leaving it with you guys. I'm leaving it here. So let's move on with this thing. I think for me, I was looking for the timelines, the time frames in terms of when would you like the stakeholder engagement plan to be done by or to be fast-tracked. So when are we looking at SCOPA's next sitting in there?
I think after the sharing of the outcomes, which is on the 29th of October, I think that will be a very good starting point because that's when there's going to be a lot of media attention on what SCOPA will be focusing on. Perhaps I think it will be best, members, if you can look at it just before the end of the year. I don't have a specific date, unfortunately. Yeah. Let's say before the end of the year.
Maybe let's make it. I do like your idea. I think let's make it a quarterly, so we can revisit it on a quarterly basis to make sure that we're still on the same track, as opposed to the first quarter ending this year. Okay. Great. Is lunch ready, or do we? I'm just thinking whether if I start the next session, the next objective is the enhancing the effectiveness of oversight by SCOPA. This is quite a big chunk of our work. So, and here we need to be really
thorough and deep in terms of our activities. So I know we are 8 minutes early for, 7 minutes early for lunch. Can you go to lunch 7 minutes early and come back 7 minutes earlier?
No, they have lunch.
You are where there's no free lunch, right?
No. I thought I was there tea.
But now you don't get the thinking check. You are paying for all the lunch.
So can you resume it about 10 to 1?
Chair hasn't given us a deadline what time we're going to be back.
And what is early?
And what?